The following program is brought to you by Winthrop University Hospital. It's the weekend. Be good to yourself. It's Katz's Corner with Dr. Aaron Katz and Dr. Philippa Cheatham, where you can get simple, straightforward answers to your questions about health, from diet and supplements to lifestyle changes. To reach Dr. Katz and Dr. Cheatham, call 800-848-WABC. Now, live on 77 WABC, the chairman of urology at Winthrop University Hospital in New York, with co-host Philippa Cheatham, attending in urology at Winthrop University Hospital, here is Dr. Aaron Katz.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to another live round of Katz's Corner here on WABC Radio in New York. We're live at 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Good morning and happy Easter and Holy Week and Passover. A wonderful week. Gorgeous weather. And good morning to you, Dr. Philippa Cheatham. Welcome back to the studio. How have you been doing?
Very well, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter.
Yeah. You've been busy, right?
Busy eating Easter eggs.
Is that right?
Yeah. I've got a bit
of... You mean the chocolate eggs?
Bit of an addiction for the Cadbury's cream eggs, so I'm not quite sure what's going to happen when they go off the shelves.
They do. They just disappear, right? And then they just reappear next year, you know?
They do.
But you like the milk chocolate or the dark chocolate? I only eat the dark chocolate.
I like the Cadbury cream eggs with all that sugary bad stuff in the middle.
Oh, okay. Well, we're here to talk to this morning with you, and we'll take your phone calls. We also want to remind everyone, right, Philippa, about our men's health seminar that is coming up, and people are already registering. The website is open. That's menshealthseminar.com. And we do have a wonderful seminar this year on June 14th at Garden City. We hope to see you all out there.
Certainly, the Men's Health Seminar, it's not that far away now, June 14th. Places are filling up. If you're not on the internet and you want to speak to our coordinator, Joanne, who's been with us for the last 6 years organizing the seminar, Joanne can help you register. You do need to register. We've only got 300 places total. 516-663-9615. That's 516-663-9615. And on the day, we're going to be kicking off talking about everything you need to know about your PSA. We're going to be talking about all the treatment options for prostate cancer. We're also going to be addressing issues related to low testosterone, sexual health, gut health, cardiac health. And one of the great things about the day is that we have time to talk to you if you have individual questions. And plus, there'll be 300 other men learning about men's health. Let's keep our dads alive. This is our sixth men's health seminar at the Garden City Hotel. And come and join us, 516-663-9615 to register. And you can go online at menshealthseminar.com. As you know, Aaron, we've spent the last 12 months raising money with vendors to support this. So
yes, the other part is the vendors. And that's the other nice thing about it is that, a lot of the nutritional companies, dietary, the vitamin companies that will be there, and you can speak with them and learn the latest and greatest about your health, overall health, not just prostate health.
That's right. And it's heavily subsidized, and it's not just for men. As we know, the partners, the spouses are fantastic at bringing prevention and health prevention and health awareness in the family. So many people come with their spouses and are very welcome. Breakfast, lunch, afternoon tea is all part of the day. And it's a great day. So please come and join us. menshealthseminar.com. That's Father's Day, Saturday of Father's Day weekend.
It's a great Father's Day gift to give to your loved one, too. You know, just say, you know what, Dad, or I want to send you and Mom to this men's health seminar. I know that you... you've had some issues with your health now, and we need to try to change that. And you can change it. You can turn things around. You know, if you're overweight, your sugars are out of control. You'll learn about cardiac health. And this year, we're also going to have lectures on colon health, right? And of course, we'll bring in the diet and PSA, like Philippa mentioned.
So absolutely,
we hope to see you all there. It'll be June 14th, and it's going to be a wonderful seminar this year at the beautiful Garden City Hotel. So we hope to see you all there.
and the program is actually on the website. So if you want to see who's speaking and what the different lectures are about, then go onto the website. All the information is there.
Well, we'll take your phone calls at 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We had, both Philip and I had a very busy week, seeing a lot of patients both out in our office in Garden City, here in Park Avenue. And Philip, you were just telling me about a man that you had a very large bladder stone, you know, and you spent, how long did it take you to take that bladder stone out? And nowadays, you know, when we take bladder stones out, it all can be done with minimally invasive approaches where you don't have to make an incision. But we do see quite a fair number of men that come in with urinary issues. You know, they're frequently urinating, getting up at night. And then we do an ultrasound in the office and we find, you know, sometimes we find bladder stones.
You know, it was amazing. I looked inside this guy's bladder. He had some urinary symptoms. He came into the office and we scoped him on the Park Avenue office a few weeks ago. And honestly, it looked like a huge, great Easter egg inside his bladder.
Another Easter egg? Well, that would be a case report, wouldn't it?
But, you know, it's interesting because one of the reasons why men in particular get bladder stones is that the bladder stone forms because the urine can't drain and the salts in the urine crystallize and form this mass, which over time just can grow and grow and grow. And so bladder stones almost always are related to the prostate preventing the urine draining, and the prostate sits at the base of the bladder. And as you get older, the prostate can grow, and as it grows into the urethra and the affects the drainage of the urine. And this gentleman had formed this bladder stone, and it can certainly result in recurrent urinary tract infections, urinary symptoms, urgency and frequency as the stone is tapping on the nerves at the base of the bladder. Also, for some men, it can result in blood in the urine. But you can imagine if you've got a huge, great stone sat on the base of your bladder, it's going to give you symptoms.
Yeah. And I saw him. You did the procedure on Wednesday. And how long? It didn't take you all that long. It was done outpatient.
In fact, he was done in the operating room. It was done under spinal anesthesia. And this gentleman's quite a character. So he was telling us all sorts of interesting jokes throughout the procedure, which took probably just over an hour. I mean, it's one of the biggest stones, bladder stones, that I've dealt with in the last 20 years.
And what did you use? A laser for that? Or how do you, just break it up with a laser, the stone?
So essentially, we put a telescope down into the bladder, and then we have this laser fiber that basically just taps away at the stone, breaks the stone up into fragments, and then we have this suction device that can suck out the fragments. And the guy did extremely well. He went home the same day. It was an afternoon procedure. He went home a few hours later, and all was good.
Yeah, and I know he lives in the city, so you did the procedure on Wednesday, and then I just saw him on Friday just to check him out, and he looked like nothing happened. I mean, he already had a significant reduction in his symptoms, really marked improvement. And you're right, if you have a big stone in the bladder, and you wouldn't know it, is because sometimes, you know, you think about a kidney stone, you might have pain, but with a bladder stone, it's just going to cause that frequent urination, urgency to urinate. I mean, you might see a little blood in the urine, and you're absolutely right, Philip, but the reason that men get this is they're not emptying their bladder well. And this we see time and time again.
You know, just a little history lesson. If anybody out there has ever read the diaries by Samuel Pepys, Samuel Pepys talked about, this is in the 1700s when he had a bladder stone, and he talks about cutting for the stone, which is pretty barbaric back then when they used to actually do an open procedure, cutting into the bladder directly through the skin. This was a pretty traumatic way of taking out bladder stones, but they used to pass metal sounds, metal instruments down into the bladder. This was, you know, way before we had telescopes, and they would tap the metal against the stone, and if they could hear the tick, 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 they knew the patient had a bladder stone.
Right?
And that's how they diagnosed bladder stones all those years ago.
Wow.
But, you know, we're very lucky now that we can see them under direct vision, and we now no longer need to do an open procedure. But the key with these stones is that if you just deal with the stone and don't address the enlarged prostate, then, you know, usually another stone forms because the issue with drainage is still there. So this gentleman will be coming back for a prostate procedure actually next week. Sometimes if the stone is small, we can do the prostate procedure and the bladder procedure at the same time. But when it's a big stone, you know, you can only take so much at one time.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And, you know, for a lot of the prostates, you know, I've switched over to doing these green light lasers. And I think that those are reasonable. But, you know, for the smaller size prostates, And I was reading some articles this weekend about other doctors that are doing the green lights. And now we've started using this this newer procedure, this UroLift. And I know that our colleague, Dr. Jeffrey Schiff, has started this, which is even less invasive and doesn't employ any laser energy or any heat. And that's now also available at our center at Winthrop, this UroLift. And Philip and I are going to be going down to the AUA, the American Urological Association's national meeting in May. And I think that'll be May 17th. Our show, we're planning, Philip, I don't think I told you this, but we're actually going to try to do the show live from Orlando, where the meeting is, and bring everyone the latest and greatest information from the AUA. I'm going to try to get us a studio down there in Orlando and do that Sunday morning.
Is that poolside Katz's Corner down in Florida?
It might be poolside.
It should be.
But I think that'll be wonderful. So if you have a phone call, we're live at 1-800-848-WABC. And we have someone on the line, Frank, that has a question already. So good morning, Frank. How are you? Frank, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay. You have a question, sir.
Yes, I do. I had a ultrasound, actually, it's a fatty liver. And they said, do you have a history of kidney stones? I said, no. And lo and behold, they didn't find any. But a couple of days later, I was diagnosed with prostatitis, so blood in the urine and discomfort. I heard you talking about kidney stones. Is that, are the two related?
Are what two related? Prostatitis and kidney stones?
Correct.
No, I wouldn't think that they're related, Frank. I don't see any relationship there. I mean, you can have calcifications, and I see this quite a bit. In fact, I had a patient this week, a lot of calcium in the prostate that was the cause of his prostatitis, and many times it's due to the fact that men are not ejaculating enough, not having enough sexual activity, and the semen can kind of build up in the prostate, calcify, and those stones, those little stones in the prostate can cause inflammation. They can bump up your PSA and cause up a lot of symptoms. But that's different than someone having an actual kidney stone. Interesting that you were diagnosed that way on an ultrasound without any symptoms. Philippa, what do you think here?
Yeah, first of all, Frank, when people have scans, ultrasounds or CAT scans, I mean, we do these for many reasons. We find many things, and kidney stones are often there. Many people have kidney stones. They're not even aware of it. Kidney stones, when they go on the move and leave the kidney and go down the ureter, they can certainly cause pain. But for many people who have little stones sat up in the kidney, they may have no symptoms whatsoever. And if they're small and not causing any problem, they're incidental, they don't necessarily need treatment. The reason why people get stones is different depending on where they form. So kidney stones are often related to poor diet. Bladder stones, as we've been talking about this morning, are related to usually incomplete emptying of the bladder related to prostate issues. And as Dr. Katz has already said, stones in the prostate are often related to inflammation within the prostate. So the reason why we form stones is very different. But yes, if you have scans, we often find things. And we see this a lot, don't we, Aaron, with people having CAT scans for various reasons. When you have a CAT scan, if you have abdominal pain, we get a free look at everything. And we often find incidental things, some that which do need treatment. For example, many people have CAT scans, and occasionally you see a newly diagnosed kidney tumor that patient had no symptoms whatsoever, but other things are picked up that need no treatment whatsoever.
No, you're absolutely right. And there is a question about, are we doing too many scans these days? And for the prostate, for men with prostate cancer, both you and I and others have now moved over towards the MRI evaluation. Someone that has low-risk, early-stage prostate cancer, do they really need a bone scan, a CAT scan? And it's a lot of radiation. And so I think we need more or better local staging of the cancer. And we both switched over, and many of our colleagues at Winthrop and others around the country have taken this movement, I think, and done more MRI evaluations.
But, I think it's interesting when people have CAT scans, for whatever reason, the report is often can be 2 or 3 pages long, and it's important for you to ask for a copy of your report and make sure that you understand what's on your report. And sometimes people read things that can be frightening when it refers to you know, pathology in different organs. But often when we read them, we realize that that doesn't need any treatment. So ask your doctor to explain what's on the report and know what it means and have a copy and go through it, you know. But it takes time, of course. And I think sometimes these reports create a lot of anxiety for patients. And also, we're also specialized, you know, we do CAT scans to focus on a particular area, but it's important to make sure that other issues on that CAT scan are addressed or are put to bed.
Yeah, I mean, I can't overemphasize what Philip is saying. I mean, especially about reports, you know, when you get diagnosed or have a scan and you're going for a second opinion. And, you know, we both see a lot of patients that come to us for second opinions for a variety of things, urinary symptoms, cancers of the kidney, bladder, and prostate. And, you know, you really need to make sure that you have all the copies of your reports, and especially if you've had a biopsy, to maintain that biopsy and put it in a notebook. And this way, if you go for a second or third opinion, which many people do, and I encourage that, and I think it's very smart to do that, that you are the educated or the empowered patient. 7:19 in the morning here on Katz's Corner. If you're just waking up, a wonderful happy Easter and happy Passover week to everyone out there and all of our Katz's Corners listeners. And, you know, Philippa, we certainly have a lot. I mean, every week people are coming in saying, oh, it's so great to finally meet you guys. We've been listening to you both for years and years, and we've been telling our friends. And we rely on you out there, our listeners, to help spread the word about men's health. I think this is probably the only show in all of radio that is live, that's not an infomercial, that brings you, I think, unbiased information every week. We thank all of our listeners for helping spread the word, and we want to make sure that all of our listeners come. If you're just waking up and you didn't hear our announcement, the Men's Health Seminar, which will be June 14th here this year, a wonderful day. Please come. It'll be you can register easily online at menshealthseminar.com. All right, Philippa, let's go back to the phones. We'll take a phone call from Greg. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, doctors. Happy holidays.
Happy holiday to you, Greg. Good morning.
It's funny that you just mentioned the UroLift. That's why I was calling. I know is it a fairly new procedure in the United States, and what are the downsides to it compared to green light? And is it a permanent procedure? Does it need any type of touch-ups in the future or anything like that, doctor? And, you know, you said you've been doing them. Have you had a good success rate?
Well, we just started doing them, and the overall success rate is quite good. It is a minimally invasive procedure. As far as touch-ups go, I think if it's done properly, and some of the studies have looked, and it is fairly new, so we don't know the long-term, will you need a touch-up in the future. But I think if someone has other comorbidities, let's say, Philippa, you know, if they can't really tolerate a lot of general anesthesia, a little bit older, larger prostate, I think it's a reasonable way to go. What's been your thoughts about this?
Yeah, so, Greg, in answer to your question, the UroLift has been FDA approved in the last 12 months, and I'm sure that we'll be hearing more about it at the annual conference, the American Urology Association annual conference. It's like all things, you know, it's all about patient selection and selecting the right patient for the right procedure. For prostate enlargement, there are a number of different treatment options out there. There's the good old-fashioned conventional TURP, that's the transurethral resection of the prostate, and many of the other treatments out there, the green light, the plasma button, the holmium, all of these are minimally invasive treatments for the prostate, and they're all a variation on a theme where essentially we're removing tissue as it's blocking the base of the bladder to help the bladder drain better. With the UroLift, this is a device that's deployed, and it essentially helps push the prostate out towards the side walls. And it's certainly a great option for patients who may be older and have other medical problems and may not necessarily be able to tolerate anesthesia. But, you know, it's early days, and with all these things, we have to do studies and make sure that, you know, the right patients are selected for the right procedures. But it's a promising treatment, and I'm sure we're going to
see
more.
Philippa, just thinking about it, because you're not using energy, you're not using electrical energy or laser energy, so the theoretical advantage would be maybe you would get less stricture rate. And perhaps even for the younger patient, I'm just thinking, maybe you would have, you know, because one of the problems with these procedures is you get retrograde ejaculation. And I know it's, you know, 7:30 in the morning. We shouldn't be talking about these things. But, and of course, religion on the line is waiting to come on. But we need to talk about, you know, sexual function, especially when we're going to be performing prostate procedures on men. And one of the things that can happen to men with these, either the green light or the TERP or any of these things you're talking about, is that they may not, you know, they may develop this condition of retrograde. And right. maybe you wouldn't have that with the UroLift.
Right. I also think, you know, for patients who have a very long, large prostate, this may not necessarily be the best procedure, but we'll see as time goes on. But I think there's a huge amount of value from doing a cystoscopy where we put a telescope into the bladder and define the anatomy. I don't think it's one size fits all.
Absolutely right.
You know,
as
you've said, the green light laser is great, but not necessarily the best procedure for the very large, long prostates. And some people have a ton of tissue there. And that, I think, for those people who have very large prostate lobes, often do better having that tissue removed. But again, yeah, it's a balance. And I think the other advantage with this UroLift for patients, there are many patients out there on blood thinners. And the great thing about the UroLift is that you don't need to stop things like Coumadin, warfarin, and, you know,
Xarelto. Yeah.
So
that's true. That's true, because you're not cutting into anything. You're just kind of pushing back the tissue.
But,
so,
but Greg, one of our colleagues, Dr. Schiff, is going to be talking at the Men's Health Seminar all about treatment options for benign prostate enlargement. That's innocent enlargement of the prostate. And, you know, prostate cancer tends to affect the outside of the prostate, which is why when we do the rectal exam, we can assess the outside of the prostate. But what we're talking about here, innocent enlargement of the prostate that gives men urinary symptoms, is usually the inside of the prostate that's squashing into the water pipe, the urethra, on its way out from the bladder.
Yeah. I mean, I had a discussion, and thanks for your phone call, Greg. I mean, I had a discussion with a gentleman who came in to see me Friday, who I've been following for a while. And, you know, he told me, look, I've been on Rapaflow, which is a very common medication that we do use. He's in his early 50s. And I, you know, he said, look, I'm just not that happy with this anymore. I'm very frustrated. I'm constantly thinking about, you know, going to the bathroom. I can't get in a car without wondering where the next, you know, bathroom is or the toilet. I can't go to dinner with my wife. I can't go out to a show. And I gave him the brochure about the green light. And then I actually called him yesterday morning, because he had some additional questions, and, you know, he's thinking about it. He's saying, look, I'm very concerned about this. It's interfering with my life. It's really interfering with the quality of my life. And I said, you know what, let's bring you into the office. The cystoscopy, as you mentioned, is not your grandfather's cystoscopy. It's not this major traumatic scope and painful. It's a fiber optic small telescope. It takes us, basically, you and I, we can do it in 3 minutes and get a lot of information. And sometimes, like you had this patient this week, you found a big bladder stone. I mean, not that that's that common, but it can happen.
That's right. And I mean, this is a procedure that we can do in the office. You know, you don't need to be starved, or, you know, you don't have to be nil by mouth. You
no,
can come in. It's an office procedure.
Right.
And, you know, I find it very useful because the patients can actually watch on the screen.
That's true.
And see what we see. And,
yeah,
you know, a picture
tells
a thousand
words. And some people don't
want
to do it. They get squeamish. Oh, I don't want to watch. But then they see the video and they're like, they're very interested. Oh, that's what my prostate looks like. Oh, that's why I'm having these symptoms. I can actually see and visualize the lobes of the prostate pushing in. We got a few minutes left. Let's go to Bill in the phone. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good. Good morning, doctors.
Go ahead.
Great show. Very quickly, I wonder if either of you are familiar with PAE, the prostatic arterial embolization.
Yes.
For enlarged prostate.
Yes, we are.
And how is that?
It's a good question, Bill. I mean, I'm not a big fan of it, okay? I would need to see longer data, and I don't like you know, I'm just concerned that when you start injecting into an artery that's feeding into the prostate, you could hit off or block off another important artery. And Philip is raising her hand. She has a point. Go ahead, Philippa.
All right. I'm so pleased that you asked the question, Bill, because this is extremely topical. Prostate artery embolization is where we can actually put coils into the artery that supplies the prostate to reduce the blood supply. There's huge studies that are coming out of Europe.
You're like giving the prostate a heart attack.
No, but it's very interesting because there's a huge number of studies coming out of Europe, particularly in Portugal. And actually, Dr. Manny Hon, who's one of our interventional radiologists at Winthrop, who is extremely skilled interventional
radiologist, he's very good.
Is actually going to be coming on the show to talk to us about the studies, the pros and cons.
But what do you think about it?
Well,
you
think I actually think, again, we've not yet done it, but the research that's coming out of Europe looking at several thousand men, the data is actually very, very good. I think the key point here with prostate artery embolization, this is not to be done in anyone's hands. You have to have a very skilled interventional radiologist who can target the artery that specifically supplies the prostate.
But you're cutting off the blood supply to the prostate. I could see it for someone that has a very large prostate and that is bleeding. I think that's reasonable. But, you know, for the smaller size glands, I mean, I just wonder, you know, you put a coil in an artery, maybe you're going to be blocking off blood flow to the bladder or to the penis or something else.
Well, that's what these studies have been looking at. And actually, in the right hands, the side effects have been extremely minimal. And the data actually looks very promising. But I think, again, it comes down to having the right person. And we know that the nerves in the pelvis and the blood supply to the pelvis, there is a huge subway of blood supply. So they haven't actually seen that.
All right. Well,
we'll
you know
see.
What?
Well, Bill, let's get the expert
Bill,
on to
you're,
talk about
you're doing
it.
Your homework and you're right on. I mean, this is the new wave, so we have to be open to it. You know, as a urologist, I have reservations about it. You know, I mean, it's not, it's going to take some of these treatments out of the urologist's hands and put it into an interventional radiologist's hands. But, you know, if it's for the best treatment for the patient, I'm all for it.
You know, I was talking to one of our colleagues earlier this week who has a gentleman with nearly a 300-gram prostate.
Okay, I would be for it.
He actually came to the operating room, and the prostate was too big to access. Even the scope couldn't reach the full length of the prostate. So
that's
a patient who's probably going to do potentially very well. But I think and
maybe we could use combined therapies. Like first, you know, reduce the size with the embolization, and then maybe he would need some type of a green light or something else to remove that tissue.
Well,
that might be in the future.
I look forward. I think we should have Dr. Hon on the show talking about
it. I think that's a good point, and we will, because he is a great guy, and I respect him, and I respect the whole, you know, radiology department at Winthrop. But I just think that we as urologists need to make sure that these are the right patients that are going to have this. You know? And as you mentioned, and it's a good point, proper patient selection for these treatments.
And this is a treatment that's not going to be done by urologists. It's going to be done by radiologists, interventional radiologists.
And that's my concern.
Don't be concerned.
I am.
It's a team effort.
All right. Well, whatever's best for the patient. All right. Well, everyone, have a
wonderful
week. Of course. We'll see you next week.
You old granddad, you. Embrace the new treatment.
If you're just tuning in, well, I'm sorry. You missed a great show. But you can still tune in and sign up. Philippa is waving the brochure in my hand at menshealthseminar.com for our wonderful Men's Health Seminar this year.
June 14th, Garden City Hotel, everybody.
Have a wonderful holiday weekend. This is Dr. Aaron Kett.